Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And guess what? You can find out all about them online as well, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Speaking of Piedmont Medical Center, lo and behold, I come here today to Substation 2, and I got a brand new face across the table, and he knows a lot more about the human body than I'll ever know. His name is Dr. Joseph Cheadle. He is a neurosurgeon, and he is here today to tell me about something I know nothing about, which is this thing called the Globus robot, which is a big part of what you do day in and day out. Is that about right?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
So we do this thing called introductions, and I want you to tell everybody a little bit about Joseph Cheadle.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm a neurosurgeon with Carolina Neurosurgery and Spine Associates, which is actually the largest neurosurgery practice in the entire country.
Really?
Yes. We practice through the entire Charlotte metro region, including in Rock Hill, and we have an office off Cherry Road in Riverwalk. And we provide kind of comprehensive brain and spine care, and I'm one of the partners in that practice. Trained in Nebraska, and our football team is doing much better now, secondary to Mr. Tepper's decision. So I think that decision was well for Nebraska, and we beat Colorado last week. But then did my residency there, and then we actually moved to the Carolinas 10 years ago, and that's when I started practice and moved up to Charlotte about 5 years ago.
So you found out that nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina.
Very much so, yes. And we have big bugs here, too, which we don't have in Nebraska.
Big bugs. But, you know, we're going to roll into the winter season here. Tell everybody what winter's like in Iowa.
Nebraska?
Nebraska,
winter, yeah, no worries. Winter is cold and windy and snowy and dirty and dark because there's just tons of clouds all winter long. But the good thing is that as soon as winter ends, it goes to the worst summer. It's like Louisiana. So you just never feel comfortable. And my wife, when we were finishing residency, she looked at me and she's like, "We're not living here. I don't care where we're going, but it's not here." And I was like, "Well, I want to stay here." And I actually was trying to stay at that my program. And she's like,
"Nope.
You can stay here all you want, but I'm not staying here." So we moved to the Carolinas, and it's been good ever since.
So you learned the three rules to a successful marriage very quickly.
Yes, dear.
Yes, honey.
Yes.
You're right, honey.
Yes.
And the big one is all
wrong.
My fault, honey.
Yes,
the same
exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. Yep. I know that one. Happy wife is a happy life, for
gotcha,
sure.
Gotcha. All right, this Globus robot.
Yes, sir.
We've talked a lot about the Mako robot recently, which has to do a lot with orthopedics.
Yes.
Tell me what this Globus robot is, which has now been at Piedmont Medical Center for 1 year.
Yep. So we have the Globus robot. It's called the Excelsius GPS is the real name for it. We colloquially call it the Globot. And so what the idea behind this is that it's a robot in the fact that it has a mechanized function, but your surgeon's still your surgeon, right? The idea is that you take a scan, which we normally do for surgery. That's kind of become the standard of care at every practice in America, where you do a scan that helps you navigate to make surgery safer.
Oh, yeah.
The robot, what it does is it pushes that one stage further. So the scan then is loaded into the computer, and then that computer makes a three-dimensional picture of your spine, and then from that we're able to pre-navigate exactly where we want to put the hardware, right? So the rods and the screws and the inner body device, right? And so we're able to plan these on the computer, then the robot, using technology that uses light basically bouncing off the human, then comes in and then it sets your trajectory to be absolutely perfect, and then it knows if it's not perfect, right? So the bar that the Globus robot, the Excelsius GPS, has pushed over is that it has feedback in that arm, right? So this arm comes in, it's on a big machine, it's covered in sterile drapes, it comes in and it's stable, right? You can do pull-ups on the bar if you want to, but it can sense sub-millimeter changes in the way your screw trajectory is going, and it will warn you that there's something in the bone that's moving it. There's some reason that that screw isn't going how it wants. So say you have really sclerotic, in other words, really hard bone. Sometimes your trajectory will be off and you'll be either too medial, which is in the canal, and you hit a nerve root of the spinal cord, which is really bad, or too lateral, or too deep, or too superficial. Or if your bone's really soft, your screw may be toggling and you may be having the wrong size screw or their screw's in the wrong position. It can tell you that you're off. That's really kind of the bar that helps. So you're still your surgeon. You still got to have a good surgeon to come and have a good outcome, right? So you can't just have anybody come and do it. But it really makes that surgery just that much safer.
So take me from square one. The patient has gotten all these, CAT scans, MRIs, whatever it is, that you've plugged into the computer. And it comes surgery time. Are you actually in the operating room with this Globus, or are 100%. You're there?
Yeah, you All right. have to be there.
You have to be
it's
there.
It's impossible not to be there. Because the surgery, the robotic surgery that a lot of people think of is really the general surgery robot, right? So that's the first one that kind of was on the market. And you are sitting at a station, and you're not touching the robot. You're not part of this. This robot for the spine surgeon, one, you're moving a lot of different instruments, and two is that it's just guiding you on your way down. So it does not actually make the decisions. You tell it exactly where to go, and you set it in just pre-programmed directions, and then it sets you up in a trajectory. Because when you're putting those screws in, right, so you're starting from the back and you're going to the front, you're passing all the nerve roots and all the vital structures as you go by. So that's really the thing, is you want to be exactly in that small corridor to be exactly where you need to be.
Jeez. So when it comes time to making the basic incision, you do it.
Everything. Yep.
Does Globus help you with that as well?
No.
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 You do that.
Have to do that.
All right.
And the decompression, right? So surgery has multiple facets to it, right? So the first part of surgery, make an incision, you move the muscle off the bone. That you're doing by yourself. You're using x-ray to guide you to make sure you're in the right spot. But outside of that, it's all you. It's all visual. Then you have to decompress the spine, right? Because the problem and the solution for most surgical spinal problems is decompression. And what I mean by that is the nerve roots are compressed or pinched, right? And people say, I have a pinched nerve, I have sciatica. Well, that's the same thing here, right? We're trying to unpinch the nerve. I'm not fixing the nerve. Your body fixed the nerve. I'm unpinching it. So your body can fix it, because it can't fix it if it's unpinched. So it's kind of like wearing tight socks, right? If you wear tight socks, you get you start to have a little indentation in the socks. If you leave your socks on, you're going to develop a permanent indentation. And you've seen those people that wear tight socks all the time, and they'll walk around with their shorts on and they don't have their tight socks on, but they still have the tight sock, right? So that's what happens with the nerve. Same idea, is that nerve is pinched, and if you don't unpinch it, it eventually causes damage to the nerve. So to decompress that nerve, that's still your surgeon, right? The robot doesn't help you. But what the robot helps you with is, one, opening up that disc space. The disc is the part, the squishy part, kind of like the jelly for a jelly donut, between the bones, and you have to put disc spacers in there. So you have to put a graft in there to open up that disc space, because you've lost that disc height. And you have to put the rods and screws in there to stabilize it so things don't move. So that's what it's there. It's just like an internal cast if you break your arm, right? So sometimes they'll put a plate and screws in there. Same exact idea.
I'm doing this show from the basis that I had my knee replaced at Piedmont Medical Center about 3 months ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It did, yeah. With the Mako. With the Mako, once you and the computer agree as to what's going to be done, the Mako robot actually stops or turns off the power, whatever it is, to the surgeon if he goes one little bit outside of the plan.
Yes.
Does that work with this Globus?
It doesn't stop. It doesn't turn it off. What it does is it gives you warnings, right? Yeah. So it'll tell you, it's called deflection. And so deflection means that your screw is going in the wrong trajectory, right?
Yeah.
Because you have, it's just like anything that three-dimensional, right? You have AP, which is anterior-posterior, so front to back, lateral, which is, you know, left to right, and then your yaw, which is going to be your angle that you're going down. If you're off on any one of those three dimensions, it'll tell you you're less than 1 millimeter off, or you're significantly off. There's deflection, and it'll beep at you. It'll warn you. It'll give you big red lights. It won't turn off the power, because the issue is that it's not doing the power, because I'm doing the power. This is a hand crank. This is me putting with my own hand,
gotcha,
twisting in there. It's showing me my trajectory is wrong, right?
Right.
Because it's only guiding me on a trajectory-wise and says this is appropriate or this is not appropriate. And then once you're at the depth that you planned, it'll give you a check mark that says, yes, you're in your plan trajectory. You are within a reasonable accuracy, right? So 1 millimeter or so.
So is this Globus robot looking over your shoulder? I mean, how does it know, here I am about to put a screw in, how does it see that? I mean, how does it know that you're off?
So it's using light. It's using light and it's using pressure. So what happens is you've got a camera that's sitting up above the patient, right, outside of the sterile field, and that's shining light down on an array, which is attached to the patient, usually to the spinous process, which is the bump that you feel in the middle of your back, right?
Yeah.
So you attach it to that, and then it's immobile. You can lift the patient off with it. It's very strong. So that is an immobile set that you then use, right, based on the location and the distance from that. All the rest of the information is there. So when you take that scan intraoperatively, what you do is you see, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is where everything is. And it can tell you from this array how far everything is. Then when you, on your scan, figure out exactly where you're going to put things, you have arrays on the end of your instruments that say, my instrument is facing in this direction. And then that robot can feel pressure if that's going in different ways.
You know, that's very similar, because I watched the video on the Mako after I'd done the operation, and they actually put what I call little antennas.
Yes, exactly.
And those antennas are in sync with the instrument that he's using,
mm-hmm,
and that's in sync with the computer and the game plan.
Yep.
And that's interesting.
And that's different than the general surgery robot, right? So the general surgery robot, you're looking through a camera, and you're essentially controlling arms through a camera, but the arms are not intelligent, right? They have no feedback. They don't know what you're doing. They don't know if you're right or wrong. This, the Mako robot, very similar, uses light technology that we've used in the brain for decades now to say, hey, you're in a different position, right? So we use a similar type idea. It's called stealth. In brain surgery, right? So we know where we are. We know if we're too deep or too shallow. We're in the right position. All of those different things. So it's pretty ubiquitous technology now in the robotic world.
So this Globus robot, been a Piedmont for about a year.
Yep.
Which means it's relatively new. I mean, it's new technology.
Yes.
So even though you're young and out of med school not too long ago, did you even know Globus existed when you were in school?
So Globus has been around for quite a while. And so the Globus started out as an instrumentation company. So they make the instrumentation, so the rods and the screws and the interbody devices and the plates and all the things that you need for spine surgery.
Okay.
What their most recent innovation then is this robot. And this is not the only robot that exists on the market, but it's by far the best because of the reasons we talked about. Its ability to say you're deflecting, to navigate screws. It's the only one that can navigate inner bodies. So it's better than everything else. They all use that same technology of light bouncing off these balls, these arrays, to know where you are. So I did know Globus because I used Globus instrumentation. And then really what happened is when we were looking at expanding from just Rock Hill to Rock Hill and Fort Mill hospitals, right? We had to get another instrument. We had to get more stuff. We had to buy more stuff. And so there was like, do we want to buy the old stuff or do we want to buy the new stuff? And I said, I want to buy the new stuff because it's the best stuff. And so we were actually lucky. We're the first and the only hospital in actually the metro region that has not only their robot, because there's other hospitals in the atrium that actually have the robot, but we also have their imaging system, which ties directly to the robot, which is by far the most advanced one. And so that makes that process so much faster, so much easier, so much better. The imaging system has a wider field of view, so I can do massive long surgeries for patients with like terrible fractures or scoliosis or something like that with a single scan versus two scans, which reduces radiation significantly. It also reduces radiations for the patients and for the surgeon because we do one scan and then we don't have to do more scans versus we used to do live fluoro, which is basically just x-raying and just irradiating patients for a long time when we're putting screws the old way. So Jeez. It's good.
So the robot, with all of its intelligence, when you're mapping out the game plan, it's going to tell you not only, you know, are you going in the right direction, in the right depth, what does it also tell you what size screw you need to have?
So it doesn't tell you that, but I tell it that.
You tell
so
it.
When I'm looking at, so what you're looking at is the pedicle. So the pedicle is the piece of bone that connects the joint, called the facet, to the vertebral body. Okay. And so you're putting in what are called pedicle screws for most instrumentation, right? There's other kinds, but for ease of discussion, you're putting in a pedicle screw. So you're putting a screw in coming from the back, going through that bone, that kind of the side or the wall of the canal, and then into the vertebral body, which is a big chunk of bone in the front. So when you're putting it in there, you're looking at your size to see what size screw will fit. So is it 5.5 millimeter, 6.5 millimeter, 7.5 millimeter, 4.5 millimeter? It depends on where you are in the spine and also your kind of personal anatomy, right? So women usually have a little bit smaller of a spine than men, although not always. And they're usually smaller at the top of the lumbar spine than at the bottom of the lumbar spine. So you're looking at those and making sure that that will fit down perfectly. And you can adjust that screw on the screen to make sure, hey, this is the screw I want. This is exactly the screw that fits well.
So do you keep a rack of screws in the surgical
they're
suite?
Huge rack of screws. Yeah. And they're all sterilized and they're in little individual boxes and... Yeah.
So are these stainless steel or are they some kind of composite?
Titanium. And usually for a lot of patients, we use hyaluronic acid coated screws, HA. And that allows for bone infiltration of the screw. So the screw then kind of fuses to the bone to help reduce the risk of that screw toggling down the road later.
So normally when a screw is put in, it's in there.
It's in there.
It's not going to fall apart. 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, it's in there.
The screw is solid. The big thing is the bone going to hold it, right? So so bones are living tissue, right?
That's
so
right.
And they adjust to things around them. So if you look at how bones are in a pre-2-year-old before they're walking and then look after two, you'll see that pre-2, kids are bow-legged. After they start walking, they become unbow-legged, right? So their bones remodel based on gravity, right? And your bones remodel based on what's going on around you. So you really want a screw that's going to be one right size, not oversized or undersized, that's going to be able to hold the pressure of that and also to be incorporated into that bone so your body can take over because it's a much better system than any artificial system.
So if you have to do spine surgery on, I don't know, a youngster who's 10 or 12 years old.
I've done that, yes.
How does that work long term with what we're talking about? I mean, with the body's going to change as they get older. It's going to get bigger, heavier, that kind of stuff.
So it's very rare to have to do pediatric spine surgery for things other than scoliosis. And usually you wait for scoliosis surgery until they've reached their height that they're going to get, right? So then they don't have to worry about their bones getting longer at that point in time. For patients, and I've had to do this before, for patients that are younger than their growth age, right? So they're going to continue to grow. We'll put in screws, rods and screws for like a fracture, and then plan on taking those out once the fracture is healed. Kind of like if you broke your arm and have to take the plate out, you know, in 3 months or whatever. And the reason we have to do that is that we can't put a cast on to hold things in place, right? You can put a brace on, but an unstable fracture, the brace isn't strong enough. So you put rods and screws. But for a kid, the screws come out.
All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, doctor. You think I had no advanced training on this, but I know you're a smart guy. You can handle it. We do fresh subs and salads inside Substation 2. We do not do spine surgery. And the way we do it is in these magic letters right here, in the white letters. And you're going to find out that even people like Ron Russell over here can do it. At the count of three, how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
If you have tried traditional weight loss methods of diet, exercise, and medications and failed to see lasting results, you may be a candidate for bariatric surgery at Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Our three board-certified surgeons have performed more than 1,000 minimally invasive robotic surgical weight loss procedures, which can be very effective in long-term management of weight. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, offering comprehensive weight management and weight loss services supporting patients on their journey to wellness. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Joseph Cheadle is with us. He is a neurosurgeon with Charlotte Neurosurgery and Spine. And as you said, you're the largest neurosurgery and spine practice in the country?
Yep, we're the largest private practice neurosurgery and spine practice in the country. Yes, sir.
I mean, do you have offices like all over the country?
All over the metro area. No, we're only based in, so we do have a Greensboro office, but outside of that, everything's in the Charlotte metro area.
So they come to you. People who
yes.
have problems come to you.
Yep. In fact, we are the providers for things like Walmart and Lowe's and American Airlines and Delta for the entire Southeast United States.
So how many neurosurgeons are there?
There are 35.
35. Mm-hmm. Keeps you busy then.
Yes, and we also have physiatrists and neurologists, and we have everything in the practice.
All right.
So, yeah.
So we've talked this 20 minutes, 25 minutes about the spine, but you also do brain surgery.
Yes, I operate on the brain, spine, and the peripheral nerve. So pretty much everything on the nervous system.
So we're doing brain surgery as well.
Yes,
right,
sir.
At Piedmont Medical Center.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my
yes, sir.
God.
Yep, it's one of the few hospitals actually in the region that has cranial privileges. So not every hospital in the Charlotte metro can do brain surgery.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Have no idea how all that works.
So Fort Mill, so for example, Fort Mill or Pineville, neither one of those hospitals are cranially certified for brain surgery. So if you come to Fort Mill or you come to Pineville, you have to be transferred to the other hospitals. And that's true for most of the hospitals actually in the region. So CMC Maine and Presbyterian are the two of the bigger hospitals. They obviously do brain surgery. But then other than that, it's Gastonia and Brock Hill. That's it. Everyone else doesn't do brain surgery.
The mothership right here,
yeah.
Right up the street. That's fascinating. Golly, Dave. So the end result of all this, you got this Globus robot. And help. Globus can help you out with brain surgery as well?
Yes. So the robot is, it's not FDA approved for that yet, but we are working on FDA approval to help with things like brain biopsies or shunts or other navigated brain procedures. Yep.
Again, it can give you a very precise
detailed map as to what you're going to do and how to do it.
Exactly. And you can pre-plan it so you don't have to make movements on the kind of on the fly, right? So otherwise, you're using your own hands to pass whatever you're trying to do. This, you get a pre-planned, and it's perfectly locked in, and then you go.
Jeez. You know, it makes me wonder, what was surgery like before you had this kind of technology?
Harder.
You're all freehand.
Yes, it was harder. Well, and so, you know, Harvey Cushion, the first neurosurgeon in the world, 1920s. So his, first of all, surgery cost $125,000 in 1920 money, so a lot of money. And then two is that the average neurosurgery patient stayed in the hospital for 3 months.
Oh, my God.
So surgery's changed a lot, right? So the vast majority of my patients go home on the same day. So we have changed significantly and dramatically. And that's true. I mean, that's true for other surgeries, right? So hip surgery, you used to stay in the hospital for weeks. And now you get a lot of people get discharged on the same day. So things have changed. We've gotten better. We've learned. There's still room for growth, for sure. But it's definitely a much different environment than it was 100 years ago.
And I'm sure as a young surgeon, neurosurgeon, when you hear stories from the older guys, you can't believe what they used to do.
Oh, I mean, so one of my favorite stories, Les Helbush, who is one of the founders of my program and one of the most amazing humans that ever walked, he was a neurosurgeon before they had CAT scans. So what they used to do was they would basically put a lumbar puncture, so they inject you in the spine. They suck out all of your spinal fluid. It's called a pneumoencephalogram. They'd flip you upside down on a table. You have no spinal fluid. You have the worst headache you're ever going to have. And then they take x-rays to try to figure out what's going on.
Oh, my God.
It's barbaric. We don't do it anymore. But so he was like, that's how we figured out he had a brain tumor. So things have changed a lot.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I remember the first CAT scan. It used to take 30 minutes, and now it takes 30 seconds. And then he remembered when they had MRIs. He was like, it was crazy. We were operating on strokes because they didn't know what a stroke looked like in an MRI because they hadn't figured it out yet. So things have changed so much with the technology, and they continue to change.
Well, I was going to say, you know, with the technology growing the way it's growing, in the medical field, everywhere else, what do you see coming down the pike? Or what do you hear coming? Because you go off to these seminars, and
Yeah. They
romance you with, look what's coming.
You know, the big thing, like, you're like, is there some massive breakthrough coming around? It always is slow incremental change, right? So it's rarely, progress is rarely big jumps. It's slow changes, just like working out, right? Just like recovery from illnesses. It's usually this slow kind of almost methodical change that you're like, oh, I didn't realize that things had changed so much. Even, you know, they tell med students the first day of med school, you go in and they say, hey, you know, 50% of what you're going to learn is wrong. And you look at them and you're like, what? It's so true, right? So, you know, we used to tell everybody to take an aspirin. That's different. We used to tell everybody to take a multivitamin. Multivitamins increase your risk of death, not decrease it, right? Things have changed so much from when I graduated med school. It's crazy. It's awesome. It's also confusing, right? And that's where a really good provider that you trust and somebody that you can really connect with is that's the key to this, right?
And I'm sure when the patients come in and they realize, well, I'm going to have a spine opened up and get fixed, or my brain's going to have to be a big part of what you have to do is calm them down.
Yes.
And tell them what we've spent a half hour telling here.
Yes.
That we've got so much good technology and medicines out there that we can take care of it.
And I think the other thing is, right, so in medicine, the report you're going to get about your scan is all in jargon, right? So it's like trying to read a will, right? Wills are incredibly difficult to understand because it's all in legal jargon. Or a bill, right? Like any bill. It doesn't make sense. It's all in legal jargon, really going through and saying, hey, stenosis means narrowing of the spinal canal. The pedicle is the piece of bone that connects the front to the back. All of those kind of making it make sense is huge. So you can understand, you can follow along, and you know what's going on.
Dr. Joseph Cheadle, this half hour just blown by. I've just told Renee over here, or Renee O'Neill, who's going to get you booked back on here sometime in the future, because you just got a whole plethora of information we got to pull out of your head.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax you with Founders, by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, and by Piedmont Medical Center, a community build on care. Okay, Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads. We do them 6 days a week. Let's see. Let's hear it here from the peanut gallery. Are we ready at the count of three? How do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.